Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is hour two for Monday, President's Day, February 19th, 2024. It is now 6 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock. Welcome into hour number two. We are pre-recorded, Mr. Zommers, today because I am helping out the family, helping out Dad with a little cataract surgery. So we are recording this over the weekend for today, Monday. But how the heck are you so far?
Doing well. And I'm glad that you were able to go and help out your dad, because it turns out when you're having eye surgery, navigating by yourself is not really an option.
Right? Yeah. So
at least they don't do them both at the same time.
Exactly. No. And I've had cataract. I've had people say, Todd, you're in your 50s. Well, yeah. I have a long history because of my cleft palate and cleft lip, or my palate more. I have very small eustachian tubes, the tube that goes from your ear down to your throat. And so the drainage is anything at all that gets in there and plugs it up. So I take fluticasone, the steroid, for your sinuses. Here's a little hot tip for you. Don't overdo that. And I mean, if you're taking it for like a week or whatever, that's fine. But because of my chronic sinus problems, there were like times where it'd be like 1 or 2 months and I'd take 2 shots of fluticasone twice a day for 2 months.
That's not fun.
For you know, several years. Well, it turns out that steroids, a large amount of steroids, can cause cataracts. And I did not know that. So when I went in and my optometrist said, my gosh, you're only in your early 50s. And then we started going through my medical history. He goes, oh. And then I went to my ophthalmologist, my surgeon, and he said, yeah, steroids can bring on cataracts. So I had to go through double cataract surgery a couple of years ago. So now I have bionic eyes.
Mm.
And they tell you, though, but once you get cataracts to get removed, they really can't come back. I didn't know that. So now I can take as much steroids as I want. Had I only known, I would have been taking steroids to pump me up. I wouldn't have been shooting them up my nose. But anyway.
We are going to pump you up.
Yeah, that's right. So anyway, just a hot little tip. If you do not have cataracts or haven't had cataract surgery, don't overdo it on the steroids. Anyway, that's your hot tip for today. Coming up a little bit later this hour, I'm going to be talking about tomorrow, of course, Tuesday, is the little-known spring primary in Wisconsin. And you're like, wait a minute, Todd. The spring elections in Wisconsin are in April. And you're right, they are. But there's also spring primaries in Wisconsin, and they happen tomorrow, Tuesday, the 20th of February. Not a lot on the ballot, but what is on the ballot in many communities is imperative. Lots of local school referendums to support public education. Very important you get out and vote in those. And in some cases, things like city council, mayor's races, county board, county executive, primaries for those things, all happening tomorrow. So do your civic duty. Your employer has to give you the time to go vote, if it's only during the times that you're working, but make sure you take the time to vote tomorrow. And remember, in Wisconsin, you can register at the polls. Just take along like a gas receipt and a valid photo ID. And you're set to go. Right now, though, we're going to finish up this story we were starting last hour. How long have you gone, or how long have you gone last time you went without using your cell phone for an entire day? And we told you some of the bad news that these things, these apps on our phones, were created to manipulate our brains to get dopamine. And in some cases, like on Twitter, the pull down, scroll down action to refresh is literally based on pulling the arm of a slot machine at a casino. And so it messes with our minds to get us addicted so that we use these apps more often. But there's also good news about reflecting on our use of social media and whether or not we sleep with our devices or not, or close to us. Couple of examples of how we can break the habit: to set a timer for when you'll set the phone down. Number two, turn off notifications. Three, unfollow certain accounts. Four, delete or limit apps. And we said this one might be a bit controversial because if you have family or whatever, sleep with the phone in another room where you can't hear it. Next, keep a journal for 4 weeks of how well you do with your goals. I need to make time to try that because I think I would be shocked at how much, well, maybe how much I break my goals, but I don't know. We'll see. Also, include notes on your feelings when you stick to the goal and when you fall off the wagon. All right, that's good. Addressing our addiction to social media or to other internet technologies is a challenge. If you have to rely, or rather, if you have to really want to adopt healthier consumption habits and realize it'll take time, dedication, and self-reflection. Unlike other addictions, no one is saying we need to go cold turkey and stop all online gaming or shopping or close to all social media accounts. And that brings up a good point, right? It isn't just the apps that we get addicted to. How about online shopping? Now, that's one I don't do hardly at all because I'm old school. I'm very tactile anyway. I like to go, particularly for anything clothing related. I want to feel the material. I want to try it on. I want to know before I buy anything.
For clothing, absolutely. But for me, historically, a lot of the things that the whole reason I started trying to do online shopping when I was younger and I'd be like, hey, mom, dad, can I buy this thing? Is because it was stuff I couldn't find in stores.
Well, they're probably because of the pandemic, right?
No, I mean like when I was little.
Oh, really young. Oh, really? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's generational, I guess. I didn't have that option when I was growing up. You either had to go to the store or you went without. But I can see that for people your generation. But yeah, I think that's what we haven't talked about yet. How many times people just, what are you doing? Oh, I'm just looking. I'm just shopping. And you're just scrolling through stuff, you know.
Guilty.
Right. I'm looking for a couple of things for our set that we're going to have up in Hayward this week when we cover the Birkenbeiner up there. And I went on a couple of different, like, cheaper furniture type places. And I sat there for 20 minutes scrolling through things. I'm like, I could have driven to the store, looked and see if they had it and be done in the time that it took me to sit here and scroll. So I think online shopping is one that we don't think about, put it that way. That's as addictive and maybe unhealthy sometimes as using different apps. But anyway, we're not talking about having to go cold turkey and all this stuff, right? Just little by little, poco a poco, as they say in Spanish. It's about learning what is healthy and unhealthy for us personally, right? Everybody's going to have a different level, maybe. Like, again, I know I'm making excuses here, but for someone like me, and to a degree you, who work in news, entertainment, media, it's probably more imperative that we spend more time at least looking at those things, maybe not some of the other apps, but at least keeping up on news. But
yeah,
I certainly cut down.
I think the fact that you shouldn't go cold turkey with this is what makes it so hard. Because
it's
clear if you smoke cigarettes, that's not good for you.
Right.
Stopping entirely is the best choice. Right. Like that just is true. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Having a cell phone can save your life.
Yeah.
Or just be really convenient. There's a lot of really good things about it. So
Uber, like if you're traveling to the city,
yep.
You just pull out your Uber app and you got a car.
You can contact people who don't live in the same city as you and whatever. Yep. Like one of my roommates from college who lives in Michigan right now, I can talk to him.
Yeah, it can help with loneliness, right? To FaceTime or however you want to do it, to talk to people like that. So yeah, our devices are one of those things that if used for good, it can be fantastic, but it can also kind of drain us emotionally and psychologically as well. Back to this article. And so with some irony, duly noted, the best place to find help for achieving healthy internet consumption is online. Google this: internet addiction disorder. Internet addiction disorder, and also social media addiction. Social media addiction. Google those two things. If you feel your internet use has veered into a destructive compulsion, there's also something called, let me get it here for you. I didn't know this was a thing. InternetAddictsAnonymous.org. Huh, all right. InternetAddictsAnonymous.org. ITAA is similar to other 12-step programs, but without requiring abstinence. Well, that's fantastic because I gave that up for Lent. So right there. Participants support one another by setting healthy boundaries for technology usage. Founded in 2017, it now has thousands of members. For most, the goal is not abstinence, but manageability. And I think that's the key there. Manageability, right? Want to manage our internet time, manage our device time, manage our cell phone time, our mobile app time. But it can get certainly addictive to people. So good. Thank you to our crack staff for putting all that together, because that was that's fantastic. Great reminders. Great way to start off the week, Mr. Somers.
Absolutely. I think I've started keeping more notes on paper of things I need to do.
Have you?
Yeah. And it's helped tremendously. And this may be something to add to those notes and lists.
There you go. I like the journal part. I like the suggestion to try to keep a journal. That's something I need to start. There was a point in my life where I did keep a journal. Did you ever do that?
I started and never made it past one day because really? Because of the way we see journals and diaries in media, where it's like, dear diary, like writing inane garbage. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do with this? I have nothing. I just like, I went to school today, or like I had work. I ate food. Like what? I don't know. But no, I understand it better.
I think you have to kind of like be more vulnerable with yourself and like how you're feeling. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Like today was a tough day. I thought about whatever. Today was a great day because I got to talk to this friend and it made me feel that way.
Any of the last times that I tried were years ago, and I was not good at that. So
we all mature, and you're a young dude, so we all mature and move on. We're going to move on with more subjects here on a Monday, a pre-recorded show. No phone calls today. We'll be back with an all-live show tomorrow from beautiful Chippewa Falls, downtown Chippewa Falls. Stay tuned, though, more for today on this President's Day, the 19th of February, 2024. It's the Todd Hallball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I wanna see you peacock. You peacock. You peacock. You peacock. I wanna see you peacock.
Welcome back to the Todd Hallball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Now 20 past the hour of 1 o'clock and hour number two of the show. Great to have you along with us. A little Katy Perry there, Mr. Somers.
Only her greatest work, Peacock by Katy Perry.
Very good.
Certainly one of the songs of all time.
One of all the songs of all time, that's one of them. We play that every time, or most times, when I mention the Peacock streaming service from NBC. Of course, they call it Peacock because the moniker for years, and I guess to some degree still, Peacock, or NBC, was called the Peacock Network because the logo for NBC was multicolored. And for a while, they actually used like the feathers of a peacock behind the NBC logo.
Right.
And so they called the Peacock Network. And so they call their streaming service now simply Peacock. And this has gotten under my feathers, has ruffled my feathers, has gotten under my skin, because many of the Wisconsin Badger sports events are now only available on the Peacock because the goofballs at the Big Ten have signed these multi-layered television agreements. And now some of the games are only available on Peacock. Of course, the Badgers played over the weekend against Iowa at Iowa City. And boy, what a game it was.
Incredible.
It was incredible. We'll talk about what happened tomorrow, because we're recording this on Saturday, right before the actual game. But we'll talk about it, you understand. And so over the weekend, this news broke. What I do have is Paramount Plus, the streaming service for CBS. They call it, you know, it's owned by Paramount Global.
Right.
Because Paramount Global owns CBS. And so I have Paramount Plus because I was a big Picard fan. The three seasons of Picard, Jean-Luc Picard, the spinoff from Star Trek Next Generation. I wanted to watch that. And so I got myself the Paramount Plus.
And then you just never canceled it?
And I never canceled it. And
Fair enough.
Because there's other things on there I kind of enjoy. So I keep her on the Paramount Plus. I also have Apple TV. I have those two streaming services. But here now, over the weekend, and this will be of great excitement to many of us, Paramount Plus and Peacock have started talks to merge into a single streaming service, according to a report from the Wall Street Journal. How do you like that, Mr. Summers? The Peacock and the Paramount are going to be merging, and they're going to call it Double P Plus. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Hold on. Let me check the date real quick. Is it April 1st?
Or maybe they're just going to call it PP. PP Plus.
I think that's what they should do.
This is real. The story is real. The report says that Comcast, which owns NBC and Paramount, or pardon me, and the Peacock, Comcast and Paramount Global recently met to look at options to possibly, keyword possibly, merge their respective streaming services into a single offering, among other options that include a joint venture structure. This would bring Paramount's and NBC Universal's content under a single streaming app. Now, this is fascinating to me. Someone who my friends know, as someone who works in media, I am nothing but fascinated by and with media. And this would be, I mean, I think it's fascinating, but you're going to have competing networks and programming on the same streaming platform, theoretically. Because you have Paramount, which has CBS, so you have like a lot of the CBS sports stuff on Paramount Plus, and then you have NBC Universal and Peacock, which has, you know, NBC stuff. So you'd have that on the same app, same streaming service? Okay. Article goes on. Details are still thin. No pricing, naming, other contrary to my suggestions, no name has been suggested for the joint venture, or other details have been decided at this time. At this time, neither company has made a formal announcement about the talks. Now, here's what's probably driving this. You know, Jack O'Neill likes to say it all comes down to the dollar sign. Paramount Plus had 63 million subscribers at the end of the third quarter of 2023. 63 million.
I don't know if that's good or bad.
That's pretty good. The Peacock recently announced it had hit 31 million subscribers paying for their service. So the Peacock, only about half as good as the Paramount. Some subscribers pay for both, but merging together will help the services compete with larger services like Max and Disney Plus. So that's probably what's driving this whole thing, is that Paramount Plus and Peacock are saying, look, we're getting beat up here by Max and Disney. Why not combine our forces and survive rather than one of us being gobbled up by a couple of the big guys?
That makes sense. Plus, yeah. At this point, viewers don't really care who made something, especially right. Because shows with the weird licensing of streaming nowadays, right. They'll just flop around between all the different services and sometimes be split amongst them. And it's very annoying.
Yeah, people don't care where things come from. They just want to be able to find them.
Right.
And at some point, somebody's going to get a bright idea to just take all the content out there and offer one place that you could pay every month and get all the content. It might be called cable. It's everything is circular.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it will come back to that. At some point, I'm telling you, it's going to come back to that. Both services, Peacock and Paramount, are still struggling to turn a profit. Paramount Plus is expected to become profitable by the end of 2025. No timeline is known for when Peacock might become profitable. Merging the services could also help reach profitability sooner. This adds another wrinkle to Paramount, which has been in talks with various companies about a deal from Warner Brothers. Warner Brothers Discovery. And to Byron Allen. Byron Allen, he used to just be a comedian, and now he's like a mogul. He owns Allen Media Group, which put in a bid of $30 billion for much of the assets, and also Skydance Media, which reportedly put in a preliminary bid. So there's a big hubbub on whether Paramount Plus is going to be, you know, divided up at some point. So that's the deal. That's where we're at with our Paramount Plus and our Peacock. We'll keep you abreast of the situation as it arises. Coming up next here at the bottom of the hour, we're going to take a half an hour and bring you a great repeat half hour of the fantastic John Roach. Now, we recorded this with John the week before the Super Bowl, so just realize that there'll be Super Bowl talk. You're like, wait a minute, the Super Bowl's done. But do not fear, because there's a lot of other great stuff in here. John Roach, a great author, a great screenwriter, wrote for Madison Magazine for years, wrote for independent papers. He is a renaissance man, John Roach. So we're going to bring, because, you know, people can only take so much of Todd on a Monday. It is Monday, by the way, the 19th of February. So we're going to take a break. We're going to come back to bring you a half an hour of me talking to the fantastic John Roach from a couple of weeks ago. And then we'll come back with some new content in hour number three of the show, because we're on for a third hour yet this week. And then coming up next week, Maggie Dunn will be taking over the 2 to 4 time slot. And we go back to our normal 2, which is fine for us.
Yeah.
All right, very good. Stay tuned. We have John Roach on the other side. You're not going to want to miss it. A great interview with a Renaissance man. Stay with us. It's the Todd Allball Show for Monday, February 19th on the Civic Media Radio Network. Everybody, it is Monday, February 19th. We're going to bring you a little pre-recorded interview with our friend and Renaissance man, John Roach, right before the Super Bowl, talking not just about that, but also about goals, achieving those, and whatever else is on Mr. Roach's mind. Enjoy it. This is from a couple of weeks ago, right here on the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Just all-around great guy. Mr. John Roach, he is a writer. He is a screenwriter. I call him a Renaissance man. He's also an entrepreneur. And I said, John, before you came on, I've said this before, you're one of those kind of people that, you know, I could just have a glass of brandy or bourbon or scotch or a cup of coffee and just have a conversation. And that's what I love about you, because of your takes on life. How you been?
Good, Todd. Good. That's high praise. Thank you. I've been good. I just returned from a week up north solo in the Arborvitae area where the snowmobile trails have yet to open in Vilas and Oneida County, which is unreal and tragic because of the economic impact for that part of the state. You know, a lot of those small businesses depend on that winter business to put them over the top for profit, and I think it's going to be devastating to the small businesses up there.
Yeah, I was just up in Superior last week covering President Biden being up there, and then did a show in Superior, then came down to our station WBZH in Hayward and did a show there. Sure. And we're planning on going back up for the Birkenbeiner here the third week in February, but they're having real concerns because it starts in Cable and ends in Hayward. They're having real concerns that they're going to have enough snow. Now they can make snow, but if it stays above 40 degrees, you know, what do you do?
Well, the big economic driver in the winter is snowmobilers.
Yeah.
And you can't make snow for the snowmobile trails.
No.
You know, and so it's just tough. You know, those small restaurants and diners and hotels, it's just, you know, and a lot of those people live right on the edge of the economy anyhow up there. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what I tell folks down south. I said, you don't really understand how tough it is up north. You know, every tavern you go into, they're doing a fundraiser for someone who doesn't have health care. The only people up there who have health care work for the state, the county, the municipality, or the local hospital.
Yeah.
You know, it's just tough. It's very tough, and they have my sympathy. But it was blissful up there, and it was wonderfully warm. There was standing water on our lake, which you don't see in the middle of January up there very often. And it's even perhaps, you know, those are – Vilas and Oneida counties are pretty red counties.
Right.
But I think it's actually giving some of them pause to consider that climate change may not be a hoax.
Really? You kind of hear that going to a fish fry or whatever. You hear people kind of talking about this. Well, geez, maybe there's something to this climate change.
Right. Now, you can, you know, it's, you can't take 1 year as a sample and say, oh,
sure.
Because then, you know, the inverse is, oh, it's really cold and snowy this year, so climate change isn't real. You have to look at the long haul and, you know, the continuing, the world becoming hotter. Mm-hmm. But, you know, for old timers up there, this the amount of snow they've gotten up north has lessened through the years. The winters have been warmer. Mm-hmm. And this makes me worry about dry conditions for the summer up there.
Yeah, I just saw
lake levels will be down and the woods will be dry. That's not a good thing.
No, I just saw the forecast for the next month. Of course, these things change, but the estimates that scientists are saying above normal temperatures, below normal precipitation. So, yeah, I mean, hopefully not for our ag producers and other people, but it could be a tough year in terms of drought conditions if we don't get some moisture. I know, you know, going back to Richland County, we had our family farm, and even still, you know, whether even taking a walk at Picnic Point here in Madison, in your old stomping grounds at UW-Madison, to me, John Roach, the winter is a magical time, particularly when we do have snow, because it's just this silence, this quiet. And I find it extraordinarily meditative. As a writer, do you find that ideas, things come to you easier in that climate, or are your ideas not attached to the climate that you're in?
No, absolutely. Look, the way I wrote my column or screenplays, I'm a believer in writing ritual. My ritual was 2 cups of coffee, and at 7, I'd start writing, and I'd quit at noon. It's, you know, 5 hours straight is about as best as you can do. Mm-hmm. It always helps me if I have a vista where I look up from the laptop and I just stare out at a beautiful vista, because it becomes a tapestry upon which things can play out. And when you're really in the groove writing, you lose track of time. You are in the story you're writing. You know, it's like being in Vegas where there, you know, there's no sense of passage of time. There's no windows. You know, you just get in that zone, and it's really productive. And I think there's ritual to that. My wife gave me a beautiful book about 20 years ago called Writers and Their Places. And it was just pictures of the writing rooms or areas for all of the greatest contemporary American writers. And then just a little paragraph about what they did to get in the zone.
Wow.
And it's really fascinating. But yeah, you know, so here's the thing about the winter. There's no one up there.
Right.
I love solitude. You know, when I built our cabin, when we built our little cabin, I found an Esquire magazine article. And this was just at the advent of cable news. The internet hadn't even blown up. But he wrote this piece for Esquire, which was a magazine at the time.
Yeah.
Doesn't exist anymore, right. Just like Sports Illustrated, where he said the three rarest commodities in the modern world are silence, solitude, and darkness. Mm-hmm. And I have all three up north during the winter. It's quiet, it's silent, and it's, you know, it there's no ambient light. There's no light pollution. You can go out on a moonless night and almost read a book by starlight.
Wow.
On one of those crystal cold nights. So, no, I love it up there. It's blissful.
It's one of those things, I think, living in Wisconsin too often that we take for granted, at least I do, and just realizing that even if we live in a city, you don't have to drive all that far to be in the environment that you just described. And that's not the case in a lot of places across the country.
Right. And so, let's be honest, winter makes you tougher.
Exactly. I believe
that. There are a lot of people who, you know, don't split wood and put wood up, and they just flee cold temperatures. You know, winters make for hardy stock. And I think it's part of the Wisconsin personality, Minnesota as well.
Where is Leo Chanel from? He played for the Badgers, and now he's with Kansas City. And was it the AFC Championship or the game? No, the game before in Kansas City where it was, you know, was below zero. And there's a picture of him. He shows up at the game in shorts.
Right.
And he's like, hey, in Wisconsin, in northern Wisconsin where he's from, there's nothing.
This is like the last game of my high school team in November. You know,
right?
So yeah, it's and you know, Todd, one thing I've always thought too is that the four distinct seasons of Wisconsin help you keep track of your life. You know, it makes you more aware of the passing of time. Mm-hmm. You know, I've always said there's a reason women in grandmothers in Los Angeles dress like they're teenagers. They don't know their grandmothers because there are no seasons in Los Angeles. They're not aware that time is passing. And so they're dressed in embarrassing fashion. But here in Wisconsin, we know when fall passes to winter to spring to summer. And, you know, each one is a notch, you know, in your own personal life's calendar. And, you know, I like it. I'm always tickled by the first snow.
Oh, me
and
too.
I love big snowfalls. Yes. I just love them.
Yep, me too. So we brought up the Super Bowl kind of tangentially there. I want to get your take. We spent 2 hours talking about this yesterday, and I want your take on this, John Roach, as a person who loves sports, who is a guy of all kinds of knowledge here. What do you make of this? You've been around a few more years than I have. I just think that Taylor Swift is a young person, a young woman, who for me embodies, hey, I'm a woman. I'm not going to let misogynistic men in my industry. I mean, you've worked in film and in Hollywood, dominated by men. And this is a young woman that said, no, I'm not doing that. I'm taking my songs back. I'm going to do it my way. She's a billionaire, probably arguably the biggest pop star right now in the world. She signed up 40,000+ people to vote, didn't ask their party, just said go and vote, predominantly young people. And these white, angry Republican men are calling her the Antichrist and making up all kinds of crap about her with her and Travis Kelce. What say you, John Roach?
Well, the radical right males are always afraid of powerful women. You know, they loathed Hillary Clinton. They loathed Michelle Obama. And again, I make this distinction, the radical right Republicans. Mm-hmm. And they're weak men, okay? They're weak men, and they find comfort in Donald Trump. You know, the one quote is, you know, Donald Trump is a weak man's idea of a strong man. You know, a poor man's idea of a rich man. And there's a third to the trilogy. But so this is no surprise. The fact that Jesse Watters at Fox whipped up a conspiracy theory about it is laughable. I mean, it's like the end stage of right-wing conspiracy theories when somehow you think that Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift and the Democrats have managed to pull off a conspiracy to have Kansas City in the Super Bowl. And in the same breath, they say that Joe Biden has dementia. It's like, well, it's one thing or the other, right? Either the Democrats are incompetent or they're masterminds. Make up your mind. The other thing is, how can a Republican rip one of the most successful capitalists in America this year,
right?
Taylor Swift? She put on a tour de force of capitalism this year. And remember, as an artist, artists contribute. Every artist is an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And what she is self-made. She comes from humble means. Mm-hmm. And through dint of talent and sheer hard work and struggle, she's made herself one of the most successful artists in the world. And she worked her buns off this year. She's a hard worker. She's a much harder worker than a lot of those radical right guys who are ripping her. That's for damn sure.
Totally agree.
And by the way, you know, I don't know how real their romance is. I mean, I think it's a real romance. Mm-hmm. I don't know how long it's going to go, you know?
Right.
But I think there's something sweet about it. And I also think it's amazing that the NFL has managed to capture the one demo they didn't have.
Right.
Young teenage girls.
Right.
And Taylor Swift has brought them that. So that makes them a marketing juggernaut even further. And also I found myself thinking about this issue of all these guys who are, you know, don't like seeing shots of Taylor Swift, which is like, man, you got to lighten your ass up.
Right.
But here's what I really think. If this was modern day, if the Joe DiMaggio Marilyn Monroe romance had taken place during the era of modern media, they would have had a picture of Marilyn Monroe, a shot of Marilyn Monroe, up at every single Yankee game every time she showed up.
Absolutely,
there's no question about it. And by the way, if the Beatles showed up at a football game, they'd have shots of them as well.
Right.
You know, well, they had shots of Chris Christie in Jerry Jones' box, for God's sake.
How about Matthew McConaughey, right? All right, all right, all right.
Yeah,
at
right.
Texas
at the Texas games, yeah. Right. Yeah. No, look, these are sad men, Todd. They're weak men and sad men. And also, let's not kid ourselves. The NFL is entertainment. Taylor Swift is entertainment. It is distraction. It's what we do so we don't have to look at our own sad lives. Okay? And God knows the NFL is wonderful because it takes place in the winter where you can't even go outside. Right. So I just think this is laughable. But the most laughable thing was this Jesse Water, which, by the way, if you saw his quote, he qualified it so as not to be sued.
Right.
He said, no, I don't know. I don't have any facts to prove this, right, but here's my lame brain conspiracy. And I laughed at that because, Fox News was found liable for $780 million in the election machine
Dominion
lawsuit. Yeah. And so he put a big, blunt disclaimer that effectively said, I'm stupid and I have no facts, but here's my theory, which is like, okay, that makes it even more comical.
Right. No, you know? I think Taylor Swift is fantastic. And of course, our very own from Wisconsin, Pewaukee's J.J. Watt, who's now, of course, retired from the NFL and a commentator on CBS,
yeah,
called, I think he was on ESPN, and he said, Taylor Swift is the biggest star in the world. Get over it. good for J.J. Watt.
Todd, they're a beautiful couple. She's right? a beautiful woman. He's a handsome guy. It's two young people at the crescendos of their careers, and they found someone to share it with, at least in the near term. I'm not betting that it's a marriage or anything. Famous people have a real hard time with marriages sometimes. But it's certainly a wonderful distraction.
We'll come back and get John's prediction for the Super Bowl. Also talk Badger basketball. Don't go anywhere. It's the Tahlo Ball Show with John Roach on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is Monday, February 19th. We're going to bring you a little pre-recorded interview with our friend and Renaissance man, John Roach, right before the Super Bowl, talking not just about that, but also about goals, achieving those, and whatever else is on Mr. Roach's mind. Enjoy it. This is from a couple of weeks ago, right here on the Tahlo Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
These are the weirdest times, Todd.
Yeah.
And I personally think, and again, I qualify this, the far-right Trumpist sect, and Donald Trump himself, I view them as an existential threat to our democracy. Yeah. I've never seen anything like it in my 70 years, and I don't think it's anything to be taken lightly.
Yeah, totally agree. Let's flip the page just a little bit and go first of all, I want to get your prediction because I talked about it on the other side. Super Bowl, sure. The 49ers and the Chiefs. What say you, John Roach?
I like the Chiefs. Brock Purdy has had a wonderful run, but I think there's a lot to be said for you look at your quarterbacks and bet on the best quarterback, and Patrick Mahomes is clearly the best quarterback. I also think that Andy Reid's going to outcoach the 49ers coach. The 49ers are young, and they're talented, but I think Kansas City is in a groove. I love Pacheco, their running back. I love Valdez-Scantling is going to drop a big pass. I'll tell you that right now.
But he caught one in the championship.
Yeah, you shouldn't celebrate when you catch one pass as a pro. But also, I think that the Chiefs' defense has improved.
Yes,
and I just think they're a team on the uptick. The Packers could have beat the 49ers had two plays gone the other way.
I think
it's going to be the Chiefs.
I think the Packers and, quite frankly, the Lions exposed that the 49ers defense has some problems. And Chris the Bear Felica from ESPN.
You can run on him for sure.
Yeah. I mean, he used to be with ESPN. Now I think he's with NBC, Chris Felica. He tweeted at the beginning of the game against the Detroit Lions, he said, wow, the 49ers defense is kind of stinky. And then a few minutes later, he tweeted out and said, check that. The 49ers defense is terrible. And again, just like the Packers, I think Detroit could have and maybe should have won that game against the 49ers.
Right. Well, you know, the Lions coach lived by the sword and died by the sword going for it on fourth down. But here's the thing. I really like rooting for the Chiefs. I think they're an immensely entertaining team to watch. Mahomes is a freak. Mm-hmm. He's next to Aaron Rodgers, he was the most interesting quarterback to watch in the last 5 years.
Yep.
He's creative. He's immensely talented physically. He's got a great arm, and he's the perfect quarterback for Andy Reid's system.
Totally agree. Let's move closer to Wisconsin, your alma mater. The Wisconsin Badgers have a big game tonight down in Nebraska. One of our viewers and listeners says he's a Nebraska fan. He thinks that the Cornhuskers are going to knock off the Badgers tonight. Wisconsin sits atop of the Big Ten right now at 16-14 overall, 8-1 in the Big Ten. Cornhuskers not doing poorly, 15-6 overall, 5-5 in the conference, but they are undefeated, John Roach, at home. Number 6, Wisconsin takes on Nebraska. What say you?
I think in the Big Ten this year, every home team is the favorite. Winning on the road in the Big Ten is very difficult. Nebraska reminds me a lot of Northwestern, where they're just, you know, a traditionally moribund program that's on the uptick. And it would not be a shocker if they knocked off the Badgers. But for all the people talking smack about the Cornhuskers, I would just note that the Badgers have only one loss in the Big Ten and are on top of the league, and they're ranked 6th in the nation. The Cornhuskers aren't. So I wouldn't get too far out over your skis. And I would also remind you how the Cornhuskers have fared in football since they joined the Big Ten. I always love the Cornhuskers in the Big – I was at the first Nebraska-Wisconsin game when Nebraska played their first Big Ten football game in the league. And I went to that game, and I was really happy because I looked around. I said, oh, my God, thank God. We are no longer the fattest people dressed in red in the Big Ten. With the addition of Nebraska. God bless the Cornhuskers.
I had a lot of hope because this will be the Barry Alvarez connection and everything. It's going to be a great rivalry. But you can't have a rivalry if only one team basically wins all the time.
Yeah. But going back to basketball, you know, it's really easy to be happy for Greg Gard.
Yes.
And I did something today that I do every once in a while. I went back 1 year on Facebook and trolled a couple basketball threads where everyone was calling for Greg Gard's head, including a blog post that Dave Cheslevich did last year saying, fire Greg Gard. And I just said, Your Honor, this blog post has not aged well.
Of course, Cheslevich, former mayor of Madison.
former mayor of Madison. Good guy.
Yeah.
I like his blogs. He's kind of become wonderfully curmudgeonly in his dotage, which I kind of like. And he's not predictably liberal.
Right.
But he said, yeah, it's time to let go of Greg Gard. But Greg Gard is a sneaky good coach, always has been, very easy to underestimate. But look what he has done back-to-back, probably two of the best portal transfer between Klesmit and Storr.
Right.
He could have the MVP of the Big Ten and the Freshman of the Year in the Big Ten with Storr and Blackwell. A lot of games to be played yet.
Yep.
But he has the deepest team Wisconsin's seen in a long time. They play a more open brand of basketball because he has the horses to do it now. Mm-hmm. And it's really – Greg is an easy guy to be happy for.
Yes. He's a great guy. He went to school at Platteville the same time I did, and then it was his first year being a student assistant under Bill Ryan at Platteville. I know you've spoken with former Coach Ryan. He's a great guy. I remember at the beginning of this season, Coach Ryan said, this team's going to be good. No, really good. He doesn't say stuff like that very often.
Well, you know why? Because Bo goes to the early practices, and he saw AJ Storr in practice. That's why he said that. Because AJ Storr has skills, and he's not even done developing, Todd. He's going to get so much better in another year or two under the Wisconsin system. I know the NBA scouts are already showing up.
Yep.
He's got some raw skills. I think he needs to refine a little bit. But man, he is exciting.
You can hear the Wisconsin Badger basketball game across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Tip-off time, 7:30 from Lincoln tonight. Matt LaPay, of course, on the call. You can hear it across the Civic Media Network, or just go to the Civic Media app and click on WRCE, News from the Center in Richland Center. It is free, the Civic Media app. John Roach, these conversations are free, but it always fills my heart and soul. Thank you so much for taking the time with us today. Really appreciate it, my friend.
Thanks, Todd.
Always a pleasure.
Thanks, John. For having me.
My pleasure, John. Until then, this is Todd Allball saying, whatever you're fighting for, keep banging your drum.